Wow, I'm so honored to be here this morning before you all. You know, I was sharing to some of the congregation, it seems like Pastor Dominic always has me come when it's snowing and cold. And like last year I came and I said, you're the chosen frozen, amen? So I say that again, you're the chosen frozen, amen. And anybody from last year that I remember calling you the chosen frozen is here? Ah, okay, there's some here. All right, great. Wow, well, I'm excited. I can put this out of the way. Well, my name is Minister Randy. I'm from the Lamb Community Church, and most of you know me, some of you may not. I've been with Pastor Dominic. This year will be 8 years in the ministry with him. I've had liberty to go to Africa with him 4 times, and our dear sister Karen, I don't know where she, oh, there she is, her husband, who's a true laborer and a true servant of God, he took us every time to Africa. He would drive all the way there. And I used to say, Mike, aren't you going to stay a night at the hotel or something? No, brother, I can make it back. And he did all the time. God carried us there and brought him back safely all 4 times. So tell Mike we love him. If he's watching, we love you, Mike, and we miss you. And many blessings to you, sister, when you go to be with your husband. They're going to do a great work for the Lord, people. Amen? Because God's raising up people today to do great things for the Lord. Amen? Doesn't matter how old or how young or how feeble. It doesn't matter. Because our God is a great God. Is there anything too hard for our Lord? I answer no. I just read that in Genesis. I'm going through the Old Testament. I'm reading the Genesis now, and I'm going through, and I'm just amazed at Abraham and all the things with Noah and all that. But one thing I read in there where the Lord said to Abraham, because even Abraham laughed. Remember when God said Sarah's going to have a child, and she laughed? But then I just discovered that Abraham laughed as well, Brother Tom. I said, wow, I didn't know that. And then God says, is there anything too hard for me? And there's a question in the Bible. And I really felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, individually, you have to answer that to yourself. And I answered it to myself, there's nothing too difficult for our Lord. Amen? Amen. You really believe that today? I do. I've finally come to the place where I have believed there's nothing too difficult for our God. He's proven himself time and time in my life. Amen? I got to introduce you because somebody, one of the elders already did, but this is my beautiful fiancée. The Lord brought her to my life. We're getting married June 6th right here in this church. Pastor Dominic Denisi is going to marry us, and I can't wait. Amen? It's never too late, folks. Never give up on your prayers. Never give up on your hopes. Never give up on your dreams because we serve a God who can bring things to pass that will blow your mind. He's done it to me for the last 8 years. He has shown himself so powerful in my life. I could be here all day to give you testimony, but I'm here to share the word, and I'm going to. Because I believe I have a word for this house, and I believe I have a word for those who ever hear it. Amen? Pastor Dominic had called me, a couple weeks. He's pretty quick in doing things. You all know that. One thing about Pastor Dominic, there's nobody like him when it comes to logistics. He's the master of logistics. Anyways, he says, Randy, would you like to come and share at my church? Because I'm going to be sharing another church. I said, I'd be honored to. I would be honored to, because I love coming here. Because you people are hungry and you're attentive. And I love coming here. But besides that, I love ministering the word of God. That's what God called me to do 8 years ago. So anyways, I said, Lord, I'm going to go. I don't know what word I'm going to share. I thought I was going to share a message that I shared with the Lamb Community Church. But I felt like the Lord was saying, no, I'm going to give you something different. So I started seeking, and God led me to the book of Isaiah. So if you would, turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 57. Now, many of you have the Bible. You might see where it says, Israel's future idolatry, which it does talk a lot about that. But we're not going to talk about that part. We're going to talk about something different where it says, healing the backslider. Amen? Healing the backslider. I know because I was a backslider for many years. Some of you know my testimony. I come from the pit. I mean the pit. We all come from the pit, but some come from a deeper pit. And I came from a very deep pit. For many years, I wandered in the wilderness. For years, not knowing what was happening, not knowing what my life was going to consist of. But God came into my life, 2017, at the age of 56, and set me free. Hallelujah. And a year later, called me to the ministry. And brought Pastor Dominic Denisi into my life. And he's been a mentor in my life ever since. He's been in my life. He's never left my life helping me. Amen? So God wants to heal the backsliders. You may have children, you may have grandchildren, you may have spouses, you may have whoever in your life, family and friends that once walked with the Lord and now they have backslidden. God wants to heal and deliver and set free the backsliders. He really does. Before I get into that, we have to understand something, church. We are living in the very last days of the church history. Do you believe that? Come on now. If you know the Bible and you read the book of Revelations, you'll discover in Revelations, because I've been teaching Revelations for almost a year now at a inner city complex. We've been going through it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and it's been almost a year teaching it. But there's been some interruptions because of sickness and different things happening. But not at all. We've been teaching. And one thing I discovered in the book of Revelations, and you can look at yourself. I don't have time to get into it today. But chapter 2 and 3 will show you the church, seven churches. There was many churches, but Jesus picked seven churches. These particular churches he picked for a reason. Because you see, when you read those about the churches, you'll discover that all of us as a church, we all have characteristics of that church. But one thing I noticed, church, as I was reading it, I said, Lord, at the end is the church of Laodicea. How many understand what the church of Laodicea is? It's the backslidden church. It's the church that's lukewarm. It's the church that compromises. It's the church that does all the things we see today in our society. That's the church. Listen, whether you believe it or not, you can search the scriptures and talk to me later if you want to discuss it. But I'm here to tell you through the scriptures that we, not all of us, but globally, we are living in Laodicea time right now. Globally, I'm talking. As a whole. But God always has a remnant. Amen? God always has a people who are loyal and faithful and committed to him. All through the scriptures, you'll read that. He's always had a people. And he's got a people today, and I believe you're part of that. Amen? I know I am. Hallelujah. By his grace. But we are living in the Laodicea era right now. So that tells me that we are living in the very last days of the history of the church. The bride of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. This building is where we meet and congregate, and you all know that. But we as a people are the church. And when I went to Africa with Pastor Dominic, I seen the church in a whole different way. People I never saw, people I really couldn't understand, but they loved us and accepted us. And when we talked to them, I felt like I've known them all my life. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is what brings the church together. And today, the church is, the Holy Spirit is desiring to bring the church together like never before. Why? Because what do we see in our streets today, church? Come on, let's be real. We see all kinds of hatred. We see all kinds of division. We see all kinds of racism. We see all kinds of political confusion and uprising all over the place. Is it new? Is it really new? No. Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. What are you saying? Back in Jesus' days, the Romans, the same thing was going on. It's nothing new. It's just we got more people, more modernized, more technology. But see, the devil has nothing new. He can't come up with anything new because everything that he comes up with has already happened at one time. Amen? But we're the church that God has chosen for a time like this. Whether you believe that, young people, you've been chosen, elderly, middle age, you've been chosen to live in a time as such as this. This is a time, not the church to hide and hunker and be fearful, but this is the church to really rise up and say, look, at my redemption draws nigh. Christ is soon to come back. Christ is coming back, whether you believe it or not. I know there's that teaching, dominion teaching, where the church is going to conquer the world. I just listen to that garbage on YouTube, and I call it garbage because it's ungodly. It goes against the scriptures. We're not going to overtake the world. We're not going to overtake anything. Only Christ is going to overtake. But before that, church, we're going to go through some things. We got to get ready. We got to prepare ourselves. And that's what this message is about. That's what the Holy Spirit gave me to share. I know I'm a little excited. That's how I preach. But some of you know that. But here we see in chapter 57 of the book of Isaiah. I'm going to read real quick. It starts in verse 14. And one shall say, heap up, or build up. Prepare the way, Take the stumbling block out of the way of my people. What is this saying? What is this relating to? Well, if you look it up, you'll see in Isaiah 40, Isaiah's prophesying about the coming of John the Baptist. This is talking about John the Baptist, to prepare the way of the Lord. Amen? And this is what happened. We know there was not a prophet heard in all Israel for 400 years. The voice of God was silent. And all of a sudden, here comes John the Baptist on the scene, a wild man wearing camel skin, eating locusts and honey, and yelling, "Repent, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." This is a type of the prophecy of the fulfillment of John the Baptist. But what is the Spirit of God saying to you and I? How many know and believe that God's word is living? It's a living word. It's a breathing word. It speaks to us today. What is God saying? Just as he sent John the Baptist to prepare the hearts of the people to receive the Messiah. Because you understand, 400 years of silence. They had no clue what God was doing. Because 400 years wasn't a prophet in the nation of Israel. So what was God sending John the Baptist? To prepare them to meet the Messiah. To prepare them to meet the salvation of the Lord. To prepare their hearts. To prepare their minds. To prepare them for the coming Messiah. The one who would take the sins away from the world. The Lamb of God. So God is saying to you and I today, that we as the body of Christ, including myself, when I got this message, I always told my fiance, I told her, I says, I'll never preach a word unless I live it. If I can't live what I'm preaching, I won't preach it. Why? Because I'm a hypocrite. I learned that from man of God, your pastor, Dominic Denise. He told me the same thing. I learned that from my pastor, Pastor Dan Ramos Soto. Many of you know him. So I learned from good men of God that if I can't live this, I'm not going to preach it. So I've been happening to live this. So what God is saying here to you and I is that we have to prepare ourselves, church. We have to have spiritual preparation in our lives. And what God began to deal with me is where it says, he says right here, he says, take the stumbling block out of the way of my people. What is that saying? It's saying remove every hindrance. Remove every obstacle from our lives that's hindering us from being prepared to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, to meet the one who's coming. He could come at any time. So God is telling us to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as John the Baptist was preaching it over 2,000 years ago, God is saying it to you and I today as believers. We need to prepare our hearts. We need to prepare our lives for the coming of Christ, because he said, I'm coming and I will not delay. And he said, when I come, don't let me catch you sleeping. Don't let me catch you in the darkness. How many believe that? Amen? So it's a spiritual call of preparation. It's a spiritual call of repentance. It's a spiritual call of removing all hindrances from our lives. I had to say, Lord, what's hindering me from loving you more? What's hindering me from desiring you more? What's hindering me from reading your word more? What's hindering me from praying more? What's hindering me from being more faithful to you? And God started revealing things to me. And I'm not going to tell you, because that's between God and I. But that's a question that maybe all of us can ask the Lord. Lord, what's hindering me today from loving you more? What's hindering me today, Lord, from getting closer to you? From really understanding, really hearing. Amen. Today we have so many voices speaking to us, church. We have so much clatter. I always say that when I go to churches. There's all this clatter, like Pac-Man, boom, 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 eating us. Listen, are you hearing the voice of God? The Bible clearly says, whether you believe it or not, it says it. Jesus says, my sheep will know my voice. My sheep. Are you his sheep today? If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you're washed in the blood, then you're his sheep. Right, Brother Tom? You're part of his fold. So you should be hearing his voice. But how can we hear it if we got so much clatter going in and out of our head? Social media can be used for the glory of God. But it can also be used as a major, major disturbance in so many people's lives, including myself. God began to speak to me, son, put down the phone, stop strolling. It's very easy to get caught up strolling with all the stuff that's going on in our society today, right? One thing about me, you'll learn, I'm a very transparent preacher. I don't stand up here professing to be some super saint. The only super saint is Jesus. The only one I follow in my example is Jesus Christ. So yes, I was convicted about strolling. God is speaking. We need to get prepared. We need to build our lives up in the things of God. That's what he was saying. Build, build. Heap up, build. Prepare the way. Take the stumbling block out of your way. Now, I listed some hindrances here. This is a few here. And it says this, it's a call to remove all hindrances from our lives, to make spiritual preparation. The first thing I think most of us need to get out of our life that we deal with as men and women is pride. Whew. Pride, arrogance, thinking I know it all, I can do it my way. Pride will kill you. Pride will destroy everything that God wants to give you. Pride will stop every holy thing from being accomplished in your life. Who's the greatest example of that? Satan himself. He walked among the stones of fire. He was covered with every precious stone. The Bible says that he was a light bringer, burning in light. But because of pride, it was all taken away. And now he's condemned to eternal hell in a lake of fire. Very soon he will go there. And he knows it. That's why he's coming on earth now, wreaking havoc like there's no tomorrow. So pride is something that will destroy you. And arrogance. We must be humble. I'm going to get to that in a minute. Anything that comes against the knowledge of God, the Bible tells us to take every thought, every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And it says, bring it into captivity. That word captivity means bring it right under your feet. Bam! Stand on it as authority over it. Whatever it is. I don't know what it is. For me, it was some things, and I had to take them in captivity. Some could be insecurity. Insecurity is a very bad thing, especially in relationships. In marriage, insecurity is not a good thing to have. Those things you need to deal with. Amen? Anything. We need to neither give place to the devil. The book of Ephesians, you write this scripture down, look it up later. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. It says, neither give place to the devil. Give no room to him because he's a snake. And any little crack, right, Tom, brother Tom, any little crack, he's going to get in there, man. I'm telling you. My pastor always says, I always shine my armor. I never take it off. Never takes it off. Never takes it off. Excuse me. Dry. Give no place to the devil. Basically, you know what that is? Close all doors to the enemy. Whatever the enemy is doing in your life, whatever is happening in your life that you know is not pleasing to God, then get rid of it. Close that door, or you will not have the peace of God. You will not have the prosperity of God. You won't have the blessings of God. I learned the hard way. I had to go through a lot of that stuff. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen? So we close all doors to the enemy. Here's another one, and this is big. I see it all over Facebook. I see a lot of Christians going right at it. Superstitions, the zodiac, horoscopes, all these things are against the people of God. All these things are hindrances with God. Today you see on Facebook, oh, guess my date, and if I'm going to get married, who I'm going to marry. And I see all kinds of, I'm not going to name Christians because I know some of them. And I see them going right after that stuff. And I say, oh, Lord, open their eyes. Because behind that stuff, church, it's called New Age. And behind that is demonic influences, demonic spirits. And let me tell you something, young people, if you dab into that stuff, hear me, if you get involved in that stuff in your schools or whatever, listen, you're opening yourself up to demonic identities, and they can wreak havoc in your life. I'm going to say it. Why do we see so many young people today committing suicide? Why do we see so many people on drugs and alcohol? I've been ministering to them for 8 years. I come out of that lifestyle. Why? Because they don't have their identity. They're behind and operated behind demonic identities. There's nothing worse than someone who lives their life and has no meaning of their life, has no purpose in their life. They're the most miserable person you could ever meet because they're like a wandering. They just wander. They wander around. I wandered for years. When I came back to the Lord this time, I said, Lord, was I living out there? No. All I was doing is existing. You see, without Christ, you only exist. Life only comes from Jesus. Jesus is life. He said, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. Amen? Real life. Purpose. Today I have purpose. Today I have destiny. Today I have a reason to live. I have a purpose. I have a wife that I'm going to marry. A beautiful wife. We're going to have a wonderful life together. Whatever God gives me. I'm 64, so I pray He gives me another 20, 25 years. Can I get an amen? Maybe longer? But it's purpose, destiny. God has purpose and destiny for us. The first purpose and destiny is the kingdom of God, eternal life. But there are blessings here on the earth you can have too. But it comes by taking away hindrances, taking away things that are upsetting to the Lord. I don't know how much time I got, but you can write these scriptures down, look them up yourself. Deuteronomy, this is a very powerful scripture. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18. Verse 10 and 12. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10 and 12. Leviticus verse chapter 19, verse 26. Isaiah 47, verse 13 and 14. These scriptures here will identify and clarify that what I'm saying is the truth. What I'm saying isn't just a bunch of old-fashioned, you know, whatever. It's the truth. It's the absolute truth. We have nothing to do with those things that predict future or predict anything concerning your life because we have one person who knows our future, who knows the beginning to the end, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm under Him. I'm not under no star. I'm not under no zodiac sign. They used to say because I was born in July, it was cancer. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I'm under Christ. I'm under the cross. Amen? Are you under the cross today? Are you under the blood? Not under that junk. So it's time to get rid of those things. If you're involved in it, I encourage you very strongly to get out of it. And watch how your life will change. Watch how the atmosphere in your life changes. I tell people this all the time. If you're angry or you're depressed or you're upset or you're anxious, I used to be anxious a lot. Very hyper. Pastor Dom could tell you that about me. But I learned some things. You know what I learned? I learned to slow down and just begin to say, Jesus, I love you today. Jesus, I love you today. And I say it 3-4 times. And then all of a sudden, everything begins to dissipate. Anger, the anxiety, whatever you're going through that's negative of the flesh. You just begin to say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I need you. And all of a sudden, that darkness that may have come around you, I don't believe Christians can be demon-possessed. I'll argue that. I don't believe that at all. I believe they can be oppressed. Oppressed. But not demon-possessed. I believe before I came to Christ, I was. And God set me free. I don't want to get into all that. But the fact remains, if you want to change your atmosphere when you're going to school or things don't seem good or in your job, whatever, just find a secret place and just say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I need you today. And watch and see how the atmosphere changes. It's beautiful. You know why? Because we are able to go into the presence of God at any given time. We have access to the grace of God. I know Pastor taught on Romans. Romans chapter 5, I love that chapter. Because it says that we've been given the peace of God. We've been justified through Jesus Christ. And we have access to the grace of God. Hallelujah. You know what that means? That means at any given time, we can go into the presence of God. We were just in the presence of God when we were worshiping, when our dear sister Stephanie was being used by the Holy Spirit to sing. That was the presence of God that filled this place. I want that all the time. I want that all the time. Amen? This is going to be a big one. This may ruffle some feathers, but I have to say it. There's one more thing that's really invaded the households of many Americans worldwide, all over the world, and that's none other than yoga. Yoga. I know it's good to be in fit and work out. I do. I work out every day. I learned that from my brother Joseph. I do push-ups now every day. I'm doing a lot of other exercises. There's ways of exercising, but yoga, you've got to understand something, church, about yoga. I know it seems innocent and it seems healthy and all that, but let me tell you something. Yoga originated in ancient India, and it has its intertwining roots with Hinduism. Now, Hinduism and ancient India and all those things, matter of fact, you and your husband were in India. Some of the statues, you see how bizarre looking they are. I mean, I can't do any stuff they do. But that's the form of yoga. Yoga has the demonic influence behind it. I know you may not believe me, but it's the truth. Search it and you will find, as I did, on Google. I go to Google for a lot of things. I search the internet for a lot of information. And I found out yoga, I couldn't believe it, dates back to 5,000 years ago. Think of that. 5,000 years ago. Why all of a sudden yoga now has become the biggest thing and far as with exercise? Got to ask yourself that. Why is it so attractive? Why is it so pulling? Why is it so drawing to so many people, men and women? Is it God? No. It's a demonic influence behind it. There's been cases, whether you believe this or not, there's been cases where women had been taking yoga for a period of time and all of a sudden they started acting in a peculiar ways where they were actually possessed and they were delivered. There's testimonies about that. Whether you believe it or not, it's the truth, church. It really is. You understand, Satan is very subtle. He's very crafty. He's the angel of light. He comes in very quiet, subtle ways. He doesn't come with big horns and a pitchfork and yelling and screaming. Sometimes he does, but most of the time he comes very crafty, very sneaky, and he comes with things that attract us, attract the flesh. Amen? Yoga is one of them. I hope you receive that today. And if you do practice yoga, I pray that you ask the Lord to help show you that it's not what you think it is, and that God can help you as ladies or men to exercise in another way. There's other forms of exercise than particularly using the spirit of yoga. Jesus truly said, John the Baptist truly said, and it's here in the Word, Jesus must increase and we must decrease. Amen? Jesus must increase in our life every day. I tell people this all the time. I say, listen, we should be growing every day in the Lord. In some fashion, in some way, we should be growing more in knowledge. We should be growing more in wisdom. We should be growing more in understanding. If we're not, then we got to ask ourselves, what's happening? Am I truly letting Christ increase in my life, or am I increasing my own life and he's decreasing? I've had to ask myself that. Amen? So we see here where God is saying here in verse 15, I'm almost done. I want you to hear this. He says this, for thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. This is God Almighty prophesying Isaiah of who God is, that he is the high and lofty one, that he is the holy one, that he transcends all powers and dominions. We just sung that song. He transcends all power, all dominion, all might, all kingdoms, all nations, good or bad. He transcends them all. This is the kind of God we serve. Now listen to this. This is beautiful. I dwell in high and holy places, his majesty, and with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. This is who God wants to dwell with. This is the people that God wants to be with. These are the ones that God wants to show His perfect will for your life. These are the ones that God wants to raise up and use for His glory. The contrite ones, the broken ones, the ones who have been broken by sin, the ones who have been humbled by God's grace, the ones who say, yes, Lord, no longer my will, but your will be done. Those are the contrite ones. Those are the ones that God will bless. Those are the ones that God will raise up in the midst of you. And you'll say, wow, how come she or how come he is doing this? And what about me? You got to understand, where's your heart? Is your heart broken because of the sin of your own life? Is your heart broken because of sin in your county, in your nation, in your schools, in your job? God looks among the contrite ones. He says, I dwell among the contrite, the broken, the humble. He says, I resist the proud. They're far from me. He loves them, but he resists them. In other words, his blessings, his favor is not on their life. I see a lot of people with their favor on them, and I know that's a humble man. That's a humble woman, because the favor of God is on their life. That's who God contends to dwell with. He says it right here in the Word. He says it. Who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit. Broken. See, never think that you can do better. What do you mean by that? You can't. You can never better yourself. That doesn't make sense, preacher. Oh, yeah, it does. Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. What is that saying? That's saying that for us to say that I can better myself, I can do better for me. No. When you say this, Lord, I can no longer live my life without you. Lord, I can no longer function in society without you. Lord, I don't have any wisdom. I don't have any knowledge. I don't have understanding. Lord, I need you. That's when God will say, there's my daughter. There's my son. Now I'm going to implant in him wisdom beyond his years, understanding beyond his years. And God's going to begin to raise you up. What does the Bible say in James? It says, those who humble themselves under the mighty hand of God, in due season, he will exalt them. He will exalt them, not yourself. So many people today try to exalt themselves. So many people today try to make themselves look great in the eyes of God. And God just sits back and laughs. He laughs. Why do the heathens rage? Why do the nations rage? And a vain thing against the Holy One. And God sits in the heavens and laughs. What's happening today out there in the streets, how they're raging and making all these insinuations against God that he isn't real and he's dead. God just sits back and laughs. Because God already knows. God already knows what he's going to do. Judgment. Judgment will come. One thing I've learned in my walk with Christ and being in the ministry, being in the streets, ministering to the unsaved and the lost, the drug addicts, the alcoholics, the down and out, the wicked, those who don't want anything to do with you. Wherever there's sin, wherever there's wickedness, wherever there's evil, God's grace abounds. I've always seen that. No matter how wicked you think that person is, how ungodly they are, God's grace is abounding more than that wickedness. Abounding more than that darkness, abounding more than the wickedness we see today in the streets. When I see what's going on in Minnesota and all those places is happening and it's horrible and it's, I pray things are done. Listen, if we ever need a revival in America, it's now. The only thing that's going to stop what we see today in society is a great move of God's Spirit like never before. It's got to come. Revival. 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 Revival to the world, the nation, revival to our government, revival to our cities, our towns, and first of all, most of all, revival in our own hearts. We must say, Lord, revive my heart. Lord, revive my soul so I can love. I pray every day for love because let me tell you something. I'm the first one to say it. My fiance has heard me, even Joseph. Joseph's been very close to me through the years. And he's heard me. It's hard to love people at times, man. It really is. I don't want to love them. Sometimes I just want to, I want to just tell them where to go, but I can't, because I'd be a disgrace to the cross. I'd be a disgrace to the ministry. So I have to either love them or walk away. It's okay sometimes to walk away. And it's okay not always to have the answer. I've learned that too. I've learned sometimes I don't have the answer. I'm just going to be quiet. That's it. So I pray every day, God, fill me with love. Give me love so I can love the unlovable. Give me love so I can love my neighbor as myself. Isn't that the greatest commandment Jesus gave? To love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And God is saying here that I wanted to revive the heart of the contrite ones. That I will revive the heart of the contrite ones. That I will be among the broken. I remember when I first came back to God, I said, Lord, how can I remain faithful this time? How can I stay faithful to what you want for my life? I'll never forget. The Lord told me so clearly, be humble, be faithful, be committed, be loyal, fall in love with my word, and you'll never leave me again. And that's been 9 years now. By the grace of God, I've been learning how to do that. So I'm telling you, church, I'm no different than any of you here today. But I'm also letting you know, if you today, want to come up, if you today want to know more of what God has for your life, if you want to get rid of these obstacles, if you want to get rid of these hindrances or anything that's stopping you from walking in the Spirit or walking in the light as He is in the light, then you'll have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. I tell people this, that blood is a constant cleansing agent. It's constantly cleansing. It doesn't cleanse you one time. It cleanses us continuously. It's a continuously holy blood that's constantly cleansing us as we walk in the light. But when we're in darkness, or we're dibbling and dabbling in sin, or we're watching things we shouldn't, or listening to things we shouldn't, then listen, then it's going to stop. Because the only thing that can separate us from the love of God is sin. Sin. The only thing. God cannot stand sin. It breaks fellowship. Do you believe that? I know when I've sinned, instantly, I feel the presence of God away from me. And I know, oh Lord, forgive me. So if you're here today, I've got permission for Pastor Dominic. I'd like to give an altar call. And no one has to, you know, be ashamed or anything like that, because I'm going to be here praying too. But if anybody wants to come up and kneel before the altar, not before me, but before God in the altar, as my sister plays something soothing, I encourage you today to come up and ask God to remove hindrances, remove obstacles that may be in your life, that may be stopping the Holy Spirit from flowing in you and loving people the way we should love. As I said before, I don't want to sound like a broken tape recorder, but reading the word more, praying more, having a better devotion. Those things are so important in our life today, because there's never been a day where we're living in such darkness and such deception, Elder Tom, such deception today. It's everywheres. On social media, the computers, it's in the schools with our kids. I can't even imagine going to a public school now. I can't even imagine it. So I pray for the young ones. I don't know where they go, but I pray God always keeps some watches over them. I have a heart for the young people because God called me into ministry when I was 12 years old, and I ran for many, many years. I was called at 12 years old. My life could have been so much different, but that's okay. God got me. I'm here now. So young people, if you feel if you feel there's things in your life that are hindering you from really loving the Lord or really walking with God, I encourage you to come up here. Come up here. 12 years old, I was called to the ministry. Some of you may have a calling in your life, you don't even know it. Amen? I'm going to pray.